Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And
this job is more important than me.
I know.
If you don't get this,
hey John,
job,
John, we can hear you in the background here, mate. Hey, see, and this is another point that I want to raise with people. Anybody who's listening to people like us on the radio, understand that we're just normal people like you. You know, we've got our missus cutting in every now and again. My missus occasionally passes me notes telling me to shut up and let the guests talk more, which I found pretty interesting. During a live broadcast, you know, just comes in with a little note. I think I showed it on the webcam when it happened. It was hilarious. But, yeah, we're generally just ordinary people. We don't have copious quantities of funding behind us from a gargantuan, evil, monopolistic energy cartels and things of that nature to support us. And what I've found is that happens in this particular industry, whatever truth you're talking about, it's about trust. Okay, and what happens is because you get your trust violated so many times by bad people, you start to think that there's no point trusting anybody, even the good people, and that destroys your ability to even make any decent friendships and survive. And it's very good that John's managed to have this wonderful person, Bradley, to come on and give him the support that he needs in order to just continue to tell his story. And, Bradley, you know, salutes and hats off to you, mate.
Thank you, Vinny. Thank you. It's very kind words, and I appreciate that. He's a fascinating man. And like I said in our intro, when I met him, he told me a story that absolutely knocked my socks off. And I know sometimes when we do these, it kind of gets into an arena where it's so difficult to describe. But the bottom line for me is something extraordinary happened in this man's life. Now, I remember doing an interview here and there with some folks, and they say to me, okay, Brad, why? You know, what are you talking about here? What I'm talking about is looking at it empirically, Vinny. You look at that period we were talking about when John was just a few minutes ago saying in the 1950s he's challenged to build this unit and he builds the unit. Okay, fine. It gets shoved off into the corner, but something unique happens here. After he leaves Midlands Electricity, 13 old age pensioners with money come along and decide to fund him, Vinny. Now, the question is why? Okay, they're funding a novelty, and they see the novelty, but they want to see it happen. Here's the thing that is unique. These gentlemen would fund him for a month or 2 months or 3 months, see a result, and then say, okay, this isn't worth it anymore. But what happens is they fund him for years. Why? Why? Why would they give this man money for years? Something unique is happening back in the early 60s, the late 50s, early 60s. Their money is doing something extraordinary. And even if it is this man building what are essentially flying discs and shooting them around, the simple fact that they fund him for a certain length of time tells us that an extraordinary thing was happening. You can have a plus side, or you can have a negative side. You can have people tear him down, kick him to the curb. But the fact of the matter is these guys fund him, and they fund him up until the mid-70s. In one way, in one shape, in one form or another, John Searle is funded. And this has to be thousands and thousands of pounds. The equipment, the materials, the ability to use the tooling and the presses. Midlands never shut down their tooling and presses to him. They allowed him to go forward. Now, this is enough evidence to say to us today, when we structured, when Searle Magnetics was set up, and then when Searle Technology was set up, it was designed to give an infrastructure within a legal system that was compliant with all SEC and IRS compliance over here in the States, so that we could do what? Let's explore this unit. Now, Searle contends there's a magnetic waveform that can be printed and repeated. Well, guess what? We did it. We printed it. We repeated it. Searle contends that there is energy within a specific set of layered materials. We have done that. We have measured that. There is energy present. Now, if there is energy present in a static piece of material, like this one I'm going to show you, This is one of Searle's component parts. Now, if you touch an oscilloscope to the center and touch the other probe of the oscilloscope to the rim, the oscilloscope will spike 3, 5, 7 volts. Now, that means that in here, our voltage, it volts energy. Now, according to Maxwell, all you need to do with this, if the energy's in it, is move it. And if you move it, those electrons will come out. If they come out, we've got current. Now, that was something that was very unique. The third thing was the round magnets spinning around other round magnets without stopping or flying off. The Searle effect generator mock-up, which was never meant to be an SEG. It is not an SEG. It is merely a demonstration unit to show that round magnets will indeed continuously spin around other round magnets. Another piece of proof was this eddy current thing he talks about. On the surface of this roller and on the surface of that plate are supposed to be eddy currents. We have a demonstration down there that is merely a ring of copper. And that copper...
Well, can I ask... Why do they call them eddy currents? Is it because they're steady, like steady eddy?
No, they're simply called eddy currents in the world of electric engineering. And what it is as my understanding anyway, is a surplus of electrons. In standard electrical engineering, you don't want eddy currents because it's essentially a waste of energy. You know, it's bleeding off. When you plug something in, energy is bleeding off. You're getting the power you need, but some energy is bleeding off. Those are eddy currents. What Searle wants is abundant eddy currents. Now, we demonstrate that with a drum of copper and a magnetized piece of material per Searle's design, and you put that in proximity to a spinning non-magnetic material, and what do you feel? You feel suddenly a repulsive magnetic field from a non-magnetic material.
Why? I also feel a repulsive magnetic field when I approach politicians.
I know the same politicians, and I get that same feel. But the important thing here is there are five pieces of demonstrative hardware that we've examined. We took pieces of Searle's claim and said, okay, is this certain? Does this work? Does it? Five times in a row we vindicate the man. And so the compelling question now is, if all five work, we must take step number six. Why? Just look at the world. Look at the geopolitical situation in the world. Look at the energy situation in the world. At the bottom line is always energy. We live in a world of fear. We live in a world where people are worried about the tomorrow and the tomorrows after that. They're worried about their kids. And this thing about fear rising as everything else is dropping, we need to have hope rise and fear drop. Now, how are we going to get to that? I think... One man's opinion. I think that we get to that by giving these emergent technologies a chance. The amount of money in America that they waste on this thing, that thing, or another thing that is just flushed down the black hole, let's have a small percentage of that backing some of these emergent technologies to say, okay, look, the paradigm has to shift. We have to get away from burning fossil fuels. We have to get away from destroying the environment within which we live. And to do that, we have to explore these emergent technologies. Let's take advantage of the motion of that electron. In the case of Searle, we've vindicated him five times, and we're saying to people, we must take step six. Let's build this device while this inventor is still with us. John Roy, are you there?
Well, I watched 2 minutes ago, and I'm still thinking, oh, man, no.
And what do you think? Are we going to get this thing built?
Well, it's up to the people.
And what would you say to the people?
Come and join us. Let's make it happen. It's your future and your grandchildren's future we have to think of. So let's get down. Let's do it and show the world that we can make this planet a much better place. Cleaner air, cleaner food, a much healthier condition, less stress. Let's stop worrying about what we're going to eat tomorrow. Is it good or bad? Let's make it good. That's what I'm here for, to try to find the solutions, how to do it.
And if I may, Vinny, I want to just ask Searle one or two questions that for us are frequently asked questions. John Roy, how come you could do it back then and you don't seem to be able to do it now?
Well, I think we've traveled from 1946 through time to a different world. Can you go to the shop and buy me a nice fresh-baked big loaf of bread for 4 pence? Can you go to the pub and get me a nice beer, a good pint beer for 2 pence? Can you send an airmail letter from the UK to Australia for 3 pence? Or can you buy a kilo of rare earth for 32 cents? If you can, I will pay you double for it.
And how about those people that come on to you and say, oh, John, I've got neodymium magnets. Can I build this in my garage? What do you say?
I hope the garage is a big garage, because it's not only getting the rare earth. Those magnets, I think you could get them to get some motion, but you want power. And to get power, you've got to change your thinking. You've got to have a completely different type of magnetizing system, where the law of the square says you've got to have 2 different functions working. And the way they do magnetizing, you only got one. So that's useless.
And so it's not about spinning neodymium magnets, is it?
No, no.
Never was it?
Never was. It's all about organizing materials so it acts like a diode from the electrical point of view, so the power always goes outwards. Secondly, it's adjusting the material so that as the energy passes through, you do not keep losing energy passing through the next layer and then the next layer, ending up with no spare power to push those rollers. You must end up at the end of that design with energy to spare. And it only takes 5 volts to make a lump of metal spin around another lump of metal.
And John, I know that we're going to put some of these questions to rest, at least put them up in a frequently asked question arena on some of the websites. But there's one that I think we should talk about just a little bit, because everybody seems to come up with this idea that when the court case happened and stealing power, you were never stealing power. You were never stealing anything. Let's just talk a little bit about that court case and what had actually happened, because I know you reviewed that with me when I was with you last week, and it had to do with, in fact, you were trying to save your family and your wife's life. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yes. The place in Mortimer, the electric board obviously had all the rights of supplying the power there. And, of course, you were not intended to use your own power system. You're supposed to use their power. And, of course, in the area I was in, the council supplied a very large tub, electrically heated, so that you could do your washing. And, of course, when the element went, we had to ask the electric board to come and replace it. But they came. It took days before we could get them to return it. It came late at night. Only just got back from work, and they delivered it right, and off they went. Now, next morning, before I depart from work, the wife said, can you fill the boiler and put it on so it's hot when I get up? I can get the washing done quick. Okay, so I fill it up, and as I walk round the corner, I turned it on, bang! Everything, meter, blue spark, the lamp, light, all disintegrated. So I told her, you'll have to ring the electric board to come and sort it out. But when I got back, they were just packing up to go, no electric. So I said to them, you can't go, where's the electric? Oh, you're frozen. tube, 40 watt, did all this damage. So I said to the young chap, go get your manager. Nobody's leaving here until I have him here. So they paid him, and he says to the engineer himself, what matter? He won't let me go home. Why? He wants me to turn that boiler up and open the bottom so he can look inside. That's his 40 watt pressure light that done all this damage. But I said to the boss, I said, you all stay here until you turn this boiler up, let that bottom off. I want to see inside. Then in the end, he said to the turn it up and open that bottom up, let them look. So when I looked over, oh, so I see. So you've done a right job here repairing it. You better put the earth wire to the positive wire and the positive wire to earth. Look at it. Oh, it comes. Look at this.
Hang on,
mess.
Buddy. We'll be right there.
Well, yeah, we're going to be going off to break in just a second here. Yeah. You know the old expression, folks, don't try this at home. Kind of springs to mind here a little bit. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.